So it doesn't really matter how you look at it. Friday morning was, as far as radio was concerned, it was a gift from the gods. It was a soap opera story unfolding as we did this show. Rumor was that Guns N' Roses were going to do a very small show, probably at the Troubadour, could have been at the Whiskey. Then word comes down while we're on the radio that there is a line of people at what used to be Tower Records. Then we find that tickets are being handed out and they're building a stage. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's where the show's going to be. No. Then we hear that's simply where the announcement is going to be made that somewhere the show would happen. Then we get word, and this is all happening on the radio live. It was great. Katie was down there. Then we hear that the show is going to be announced. It will be at the Troubadour that night, Guns N' Roses. People were lined up to get tickets. Luckily, Slash, who is a friend, which I have texts. Where's my phone? Good. All right, so I can read those too. At first, he responded with, "Dude, Duff and I looked. We couldn't find any. I'm so sorry. It's just because the room is so small." 5 minutes later, I get another text. "Wait, we have a ticket for Mikey."
They have one ticket.
It was not plus one. It was one.
Yeah.
The room
got
is
the last ticket.
Pretty much.
The room is so small. And I saw a picture up on Mark in the Morning. The crowd, and somebody found Mikey with an arrow pointing.
Yeah, my brother did that. Yeah.
Good God.
You had a great spot.
Yeah.
And do you know, Mark, there are still people who don't believe this actually happened.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, well, Mikey's going to have to set them straight.
Yeah, it did happen.
All right. Well, to hear the bird's eye view, Mikey, please share.
All right. So, I'm not prepared for what I'm going to say. I just have music prepared for you guys. So, this is just off the top of my head. It was surreal. You get there, and there's two lines. There's a line around the building for people who already have their wristband to get in. And then there's another line half that size for the will call. Mm, and so that's me. So I get there, and there's people in front of me that are like, "Yeah, you're not on the list." And they had to leave. "And you're not on the list. Yeah, you had to leave." So I'm freaking out. Like, what if Slash screwed up?
So that you know, that was my – we were flying. And my biggest concern was that – Slash didn't see the last name. It didn't make the list. So I texted Mikey and I said, "If you have problems, call me. As soon as I land, I'll get on it."
Mikey, yeah. You owe him so
I
big.
I do. I really do. And I'm,
oh,
I'm
I can't
sure
wait
he's
to
gonna,
discuss that.
I'm sure when I'm least expecting it, I'm going to find out how I'm going to have
no.
to repay him.
Oh, no. We're doing a text poll.
Okay, so I get to the line, and the lady takes my ID, and boom, I'm there. She's like, "You're in." She gave me a red wristband, which is different than what everybody else had. But I didn't think anything of it. I thought maybe it's just a will call wristband. Mm. So I go stand in line. I do that video. I stand in line. I get in
All
there.
All of you, don't forget what he just said. That's going to come back to haunt him.
Yep. Yeah. So they finally let us in. As they're letting us in, they give us this commemorative ticket. It's beautiful. It's black with gold writing. It's just amazing. It's you know.
Are you going to have Josh laminate it? He loves laminating.
Does he?
Yes.
No, that thing's already framed. Yeah, I see that. It's already framed at home.
Exactly.
Okay, so we get in, and there's the setting. There's the drums. There's the backdrop that says Guns N' Roses, and people are filing in. And as everyone's, and we got 2 hours until showtime. We don't know this. They said 11 o'clock, but they didn't go on until midnight.
Pot roast.
Yeah,
the pot roast. So we're all hanging out there, and all of a sudden around 11:30, the guy walks out. It's Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh.
And this is on the VIP in the balcony. So everybody from below is looking up, and there's Dice, and everyone yells, "Dice, Dice, Dice, Dice," and he gets up there, does his little his little fist thing, and then Nicolas Cage walks out.
Cage, Cage, yeah. Cage,
they didn't
Cage.
Do Cage, they just like, everyone just started cheering him. Then Jim Carrey walks out.
Oh my God.
And he's got, and everyone's going, "Jim Carrey, Jim Carrey," and he goes to the edge of the rafters and leans forward and does his big smile, you know, that big Jim Carrey with a dimple smile. Then rock god Lenny Kravitz walks out.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he just, like, doesn't want any part of the crowd. He just, like, walks out.
Yeah.
Then a blonde walks out, and we're like, "Who's that?" And everyone looks closely. Oh, that's Kate Hudson.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Is that all?
You know, that's all. Just Kate Hudson.
Wow.
Then some guy with a hat walks out, and it's Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah. God.
Then
hurts.
I didn't know who he was. I know the name. I didn't know it was him, but Vincent Gallo.
You know Vincent Gallo.
I do.
I know the name.
I know that, yeah. Hold on. Okay. Well, as you find that, then Michelle Rodriguez walks out with Chris Brown, which we thought was interesting.
Chris Brown can kiss my ass, you piece of crap.
And then some guy with long hair looks like Jesus walks out, and I didn't recognize him because he looks different every time I see him, but somebody said that was Jared Leto.
Ooh.
So we've got 10 A-listers pretty much here, you know, seeing Guns N' Roses.
Okay. 9 A-listers and Chris Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Mikey.
Okay.
It's already great.
Yeah.
So instead of interrupting you on the second leg, let's do business.
Okay.
We'll come back and get to the show part or whatever else, because, Mikey, you were in, I don't know, I mean, this may rank, Friday night may rank in the top 10 of some of the greatest moments in this city. Because as I sat on my balcony, there were at one point 10 helicopters circling the event. And my son Matt said, what do they expect to see? And I said, that was the hottest spot in the city. And the helicopters were simply looking to get footage of people standing in line waiting to get in. And so we'll come back and hear the rest of it. Stand by. Friday night, Guns N' Roses, Axl and Slash played together for the first time. Well, as I said, my bird's eye view, my tired ass was on the balcony of my hotel watching at one point 10 helicopters circling the Troubadour. Why? Because Guns N' Roses, for the first time in 23 years, including Duff McKagan, was in that room for a performance, and Mikey was there. We just heard about all the celebrities that were in the room. What about the show?
All right, so the stage was set. I mean, Guns N' Roses backdrop, the drum kit. We're all waiting there. It's been 2 hours. And then all of a sudden, I see to the left of me, the stagehand or the stage manager do this. He put his hand, like, rap, let's do this. Let's
Mikey
get this
was
going.
Waiting. By the way, how many cocktails for you at this point?
Just one, because I did not want to miss a thing, so I didn't want to have to go to the bathroom. So I had one when I got there, went to the bathroom, and then I was good to go.
Were people getting restless after standing around for 2 hours?
No. Good. It was just a buzz and a hum. Everyone was just the anticipation, you know, really no restlessness. You know, I mean, everyone expected to go. Them to go on at 1,
right.
not midnight. So the lights go out and we hear this. And so the Looney Tunes theme plays.
Wow.
Stops and there's still nothing. There's a music bed playing in the background, and then all of a sudden you see that hat appear from the side stage. And Slash walks out. The crowd goes freaking nuts. Then Duff, then the rest of the band, and now we're just waiting for Axl. And it takes about 10 seconds, and he walks out, and the place just erupted. And without any words said, they go right into It's So Easy. And the place just exploded. Like, everyone was freaking out, going nuts, jumping up and down. I can't even explain to you how loud they were.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was insane. Then, so It's So Easy, loud song, right? They go right into another one, Mr. Brownstone. And we're like, oh my God, they're going to play the whole Appetite for Destruction album. They've already done two.
Question, because there was dissension, was there any rapport between Slash and Axl?
So little eye contact, anything?
In the very beginning, Axl was all smiles. Just, actually, the whole show, Axl was just smiling from ear to ear.
He just had his pot roast.
Slash was very serious. It was like a big deal. It was like serious face. You know, it was. He didn't show a smile.
I almost thought it'd be the other way around with those two.
No.
Huh.
I think it was a bigger deal for Axl to get back together. Right. I think than Slash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course.
So the first time. So there wasn't a lot of rapport between them with the first couple of songs. Wow, Mark, that's really nice.
Yeah, he's multitasking. Keep going.
But then at one point, Axl puts his elbow on Slash's shoulder.
Okay.
The crowd went nuts.
Yeah,
and
they
that was
see
it.
That.
And then Slash loosened up, and it was on. So the third song they did was Chinese Democracy, the title track from the album that Axl did.
Yeah, were people bummed?
People, you know, the diehards knew it. The ones that were there just to be there didn't. And
that means Slash played Yes. Chinese Democracy.
Yeah, the first time Slash has played a Guns N' Roses song that he was not a part
of.
Wow. And then Axl, the Chinese Democracy ends. Axl, I think, realized that a lot of people didn't know the song. So he goes, I think you guys might know this one. And now this is actual live footage that somebody took. Someone was able to sneak a camera in. So this is when the place... This is the loudest I've ever heard a concert at this moment.
Wow.
Right here when this song played. I thought that the Troubadour was going to blow up. Like, I thought the rafters were going to start falling down. It was Welcome to the Jungle. Here it is. A cell phone, so it's not the best quality.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, I mean, to be in the room for that.
Yeah. Everyone is jumping up and down. There's a mosh pit that has formed. It was just chaotic. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd singing.
Yeah. Yep. Is he doing the snake? Serpentine dance?
Yeah. His serpentine was a little bit slower than it used to be. And, you know, he does his his twirls and stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit slower. He wasn't, you know, fat Axl like everyone was calling him a couple years ago. But, you know, he wasn't skinny Axl. Yeah. But he was a good size. He wasn't this beast, you know?
Yeah. And he sounded good.
Yeah, sounded great. A few points where his voice was a little bit screechier than normal. He was a little bit out of tune a couple times, but for the most part, he was pretty damn good, and the band was spectacular. I want to just play for you a few highlights. Now remember, Nicolas Cage, who's a Coppola, was in the crowd.
Yeah.
Right.
Slash, and then the rest of the band joined in, did the Godfather theme song.
Oh my God.
Now, this is from another show a couple years ago where Slash did that as well.
Wow.
Wait, this is like a part of their repertoire?
Yeah.
But they did it.
Yeah.
Friday night.
And a Coppola is in the crowd. You know, it's like, how cool is
that? That's fantastic.
So that was an early on highlight. For me, the biggest highlight of the night was Rocket Queen. Rocket Queen, it's the last song on Appetite for Destruction. And to me, it's... Before Estranged, which was on Use Your Illusion, it was like their epic song. It was just this classic, or November Rain before that.
Yeah.
It was just this classic, you know, different bridge turns and just an amazing song. So this, to me, was the highlight of the show, and I heard other people saying that this was probably the highlight. They just killed it. It was such a...
The review that I read, I didn't read all of it because I don't care, but the review that I read is that Friday night was really about Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah. Yeah, they played, I think, 10 songs off that album.
Oh, 10, Jesus.
Maybe 8 songs. I have to count. Now, the biggest surprise to me was this, The Seeker, which is a Who song. They came out after the encore and went right into The Seeker, which, if you listen to the words, we won't get to it here, but the words are very appropriate for Axl and the band and what they're about to go through. And then after The Seeker, they finished it off with, of course, Paradise City.
Did people go absolutely insane when they heard this?
Berserk. It was so loud that even Axl lost his place in the song. And in the very beginning, so he missed like the first time he says Paradise City. But yeah, the place went nuts.
So is this their biggest hit, Paradise City?
It's one of the top four,
yeah,
I'd say.
This and Jungle and Sweet Child of Mine, I think, are all three pretty much on the same level as far as hit.
No, I don't think I've told you this. I know Mike Klink, the producer of Appetite.
Wow.
He signed Matthew's band.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. In fact, I haven't told Slash that. I got to get on the phone.
Wow.
Was that basically
it? Yeah, that's basically it. They went off stage. They didn't turn the lights on for a while, so the crowd was still yelling Guns N' Roses, but they didn't come back. They finally turned the lights on.
How many songs did they do in the encore, too?
Two songs in the encore.
Nice.
17 songs altogether.
Well, if you haven't seen it, it's on Mark in the Morning Facebook. Mikey, at what was it, 1:45 in the morning?
1:45, yeah.
He was walking to his car, and even though it was on a cell phone, you could feel that two-ish in the morning husk in the sky. and he was walking to his car and explaining what he had just seen. He was drunk with Guns N' Roses, and it is a great video that you got to check out. So we will continue to share this story throughout the morning because there was no hotter place to be. In fact, and I'll say this later, your brother was the one that posted this. There was a text from Piers Morgan, and we're late. Piers Morgan texted out, "The good news is I heard back from Slash. The bad news is he couldn't get me in."
Oh, and so, face, Piers.
Yeah, Mike's brother was, okay, Piers Morgan, not in. Mikey, a friend of Slash, in.
That's so great.
I beat out Piers Morgan.